So what did not happen in 1968? It was the year Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy were assassinated, the year of the Tet Offensive in Vietnam, and the year that rioters took to the streets surrounding the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. It was an unprecedented level of political violence in an already violent year. Jerry Dugan was a 20-year-old college student, a conscientious objector to the Vietnam War. He and three or four friends decided to head into Old Town on the northwest side of Chicago to see what was going on.
I had avoided most of the protests because I wasn't into damaging property and breaking windows or throwing bricks at people or calling policemen names or anything like that or overturning cars. That was a big one, police cars, of some of my peers. So I wanted to go to but I wanted to see what was happening. It had already been going on for a day or two. It was on the media. And I just wanted to go down one evening and see if I could find something peaceful going on.
So they drove into the city and parked. As he and his friends emerged from the car, they realized that they had stopped right in front of a police line.
But it had just formed behind us as we were parking the car. So there was police lined across the street from bar to store. Actually, I could look behind me and see them pulling people out of bars.
And these were guys with shields and
there was full-dressed Chicago police. Helmets, face guards, bulletproof vests, mace, service revolvers, truncheons.
Dugan says the next 15 minutes changed his life. Rioters were starting fires and barrels to try and block the police line. His group was trapped. Dugan says his best option was to escape on foot.
It was walking out of the car into a riot, basically, and it was out of control on both sides. It was so I saw a side street and immediately ran down it to get out of the main street. Like, I just wanted out of there. And as soon as I ran down the side street, I remember being by myself and seeing a uniformed police officer with all the riot gear come out of an alleyway and tell me to stop. So I stopped, and he ran over to me, and what I vividly remember was the hatred in his eyes. And this was a man not much older than me, maybe in his early 20s, and he was very angry about something. And I don't know what happened to him previously, but he told me to stop, and I thought, well, the safest thing to do is do what he says. So I stopped, and then he grabbed me, and he started beating me with his billy club. And the image I had of that was, this is what it's like to be in warfare. This is what it's like when you have the enemy in your grasp and in your eyes, and you want nothing more than to do damage.
Dugan says he grew up in a rough neighborhood, and this wasn't his first fight. He managed to twist out of the officer's grasp, and as he did so, he saw an empty police paddy wagon. He dashed into it and shut the doors. It was an ironic escape, but Dugan says it seemed like the safest place to be at the time. Eventually, the paddy wagon was loaded, and he and others were taken to jail overnight. A warrant for his arrest was issued after the fact, and when he appeared in court 2 months later, the judge threw out the case. Dugan witnessed more conflict and brutality during his night in a Chicago jail, but it didn't turn him against police. In fact, in his current career as a Marine safety trainer, he has nothing but respect for the first responders and law enforcement officers he works with. His experience instead taught him about the futility of violence.
I think I was already pretty radicalized. I think maybe the way it radicalized me in a different direction was the importance of nonviolence, stopping at the point of being physical and doing damage, which I already kind of had a pretty good ethos about. But even more so, I saw what extreme emotions can do to people and how it can act them out in ways that they would not normally act out. That I know in their home lives, they're probably quite different, and in their own personal relationships with each other. And the need to take strong emotional feelings, which you all have, de-escalate them and give it time to think about and to heal and find other ways to act it out.
Dugan says one way some cultures measure time surrounding important events is by the lifespans of people left to remember them. In that respect, the Holocaust, he says, is coming to a close. In a couple of decades, 1968 will reach the same threshold, and although the memories of that turbulent year will fade, he hopes the lessons will not. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.